With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome into the Illini Inquirer podcast. Jeremy Warner, Joey Wagner, and today on the podcast, we're going to talk about new commitments for Illinois football. Two of them, one from kicker David Alano out of Naperville North, and the other out of three-star Florida DB Jaheim Clark. So we'll talk about the reaction of those guys getting added to the class, the reaction of other official visitors from this weekend, and what's left to address with 10 commitments now on the board. Joey Wagner, it's been a healthy month for Illinois football recruiting so far, adding this many commitments. Just what do you think overall of the class right now, Joey, before we dive into the newest commitments?
I mean, overall, we have to acknowledge it's pretty close. I mean, it's more than halfway to the end of what they're doing here, what we think they're going to do, which is kind of weird, it feels like, to say on June 20th, but we knew it was going to be a smaller class. And we've just seen the process. I think we talked about that a lot last year with how they go about things. And we've seen that come to fruition again in official visitor month. Is, I mean, this isn't unique to Illinois. It's a really big month. They go in, they try to close down, and they have closed down. Last year, obviously, a little bit different because you wanted to close some of those down early, and they brought in a good group of commitments in that first weekend. But you see the process is sound. You're maybe refining it a little bit here or there. But it's been a pretty productive month for Brett Bielema and his coaching staff, and obviously there's still a couple big fish out there they hope to land.
By the way, since we've added Trevor Valise, we've been trying some different things, whether it's our YouTube channel or here on the podcast. Hope you guys are enjoying those, but we are live streaming this on YouTube. We're going to try and do that with some of our podcasts moving forward. So anyone watching live on this, hey, you are watching the test run. So if you have any issues, deal with it with us, please. But we're going to try and do some of this. I think a lot for the post-game reaction podcast or live commitments emergency podcast. I think it could be a lot of fun. So shout out to Trevor Valise for doing the Brett signal. Shout out to Trevor for doing some different things. We're glad to have him on board, Joey, and trying this stuff out. But let's dive into it. I agree with you. 10 commitments in this class. I think a lot of these guys, Jaheim Clark, Zachary Amlin was a little bit of a surprise, but some of these guys, we kind of expected them to close on coming into the month. Cal Swanson, obviously a new name at quarterback. Pat Farrell was a guy we expected them to close on at some point. But adding Jamarion Harkless, TJ McMillan, Leighton May, Zachary Amlin, Rico Jackson, maybe some guys who surprised us maybe a month ago from where we stood. But let's talk about the kicker, kind of the headline addition this weekend in David Alano out of Naperville North. We talked about this a little bit on the YouTube channel yesterday, Joey, but are you surprised that Illinois took a scholarship and invested into a kicker right away? Because this is something I needed to see to believe, because a lot of coaches prefer to go the preferred walk-on route before giving a scholarship to a kicker, make him earn it. But Brett Bielema, I think it says a lot about what he thinks about David Alano to put a scholarship into him.
Yeah, I don't know that we're going to see Brett Bielema do this every 3 or 4 years. I think David Alano was an in-state guy who, it was pretty clear, Jeremy, I know you talked to him a good deal before he committed. It was pretty clear by his comments that Illinois was somewhere that he really wanted to be. And I think to make that work, understandably, a scholarship was important to him. And I just thought you kind of ultimately were going to have to go that route. I think the getting rid of the 25 initial counter, the NCAA doing away with that, probably opened the door for this to happen earlier, maybe even if at all, but I think definitely earlier. I didn't know that we would be talking about it on May 19th and when he committed, May 20th the next day, or not May, I'm sorry, June. But it makes sense. It does make sense because you got to get a kicker, man. And when you have a really good one, we saw him, Jeremy, on Thursday, and he was booming him. I mean, like, he could have walked onto a college field Thursday and made some field goals in a game. Like that translates really pretty easily. He's not the biggest kid. He's really like we saw Caleb Griffin on Thursday, who we assume will be the starter this year, and then we saw David Alano later. There's a pretty significant physical difference between the two, but he's got a leg, and I just you kind of had to do it. I didn't know it would be now, but it makes sense.
Yeah, I think it's really encouraging. The one thing I had questions with David Alano was, okay, let's see the leg strength of a guy who's probably 5'9". I'm 5'9". I talked with him, like 150 pounds, right? At the most. And the fact that he was booming kickoffs to the goal line was really encouraging. And then his leg strength on field goals is phenomenal. He had one where Caleb Griffin, I believe, was holding it for him during the camp, and he just boomed it from 50 yards, and he had much more leg left on that. And he was accurate. The drill we saw, he hit 7 of 8 in a row. The one he missed was 40 from the left hash, and that'll happen. But he was 4 or 5 during his high school season, his first high school season as a kicker. But Chris Saylor ranks him the number one kicker in the country. Jamie Cole ranks him number 21. The discrepancy there could be as simple as who's attended whose camp, right? How many times. But obviously he's a well thought of kicker. We saw him up close. It's the real deal. And then Joey, he's a kid who's only been kicking footballs for 15 months. Like that is Will McManus is a similar story. Preferred walk-on who's coming in, maybe not as much leg strength as David Alano, though. The fact that he's only been doing this for 15 months and already is this well thought of. Notre Dame had given him a preferred walk-on offer this past weekend, so I think Illinois knew that, hey, if we're going to give him a scholarship eventually, which I think was the plan, we might as well do it now. But it's something a lot of coaches don't do, because if you invest in a kicker who's not going to a scholarship into a kicker who's not going to contribute for you, that's kind of a risky thing, right? Like if you're not sold on him being the guy at some point and for a long point of his career. So I think we know he's good. He's a really good prospect. He's an in-state kid. But Joey, how quickly do you think he will be the guy at Illinois?
Well, and he told you, Jeremy, Brett Bielema wants him there in January. Brett Bielema wants him there in January, so that means as early as a year from now, right? I mean, Brett Bielema, we know, first of all, we know Brett Bielema is a big fan of early enrollments. I mean, that's not, I don't think any of us are surprised at that. We saw that in the first class. But this, Brett Bielema was pretty clear that there was some inconsistencies in the kicking game in spring ball. In the spring game, we saw it too. And obviously, we didn't see anything else in spring ball. We did see the spring game and what was going on there. I don't know if I'm ready to sound the alarms yet. I think there's still – the time we did see Caleb Griffin during the 2020 COVID year, he was – I thought he was pretty good. So I don't know that I'm freaking out about that. But Brett Bielema wants him in early, wants him to compete for that spot early. And I don't think this is a position that you have to wait around on. If a kid can hit field goals – and a kid can kick off and get touchbacks, doesn't really matter. If that means kick it and run to the sideline and get the heck out of the way, great. I'm halfway kidding, but you can, like, that's a position that you can contribute immediately.
Well, Joey, JoJo Hayden, 3-star commitment out of East St. Louis, I think that's where you're reacting to. Oh, boy. He committed OMG, another one. So we may have a live reaction to a commitment at some point on this podcast. Still waiting for the Brett signal, which Trevor can tweet out his new Brett signal gif, which was fantastic. By the way, you can check that out. Illini on 24/7. Go ahead.
I can't wait for everybody to take that. Oh, where do we see this? It's Trevor. Let's put that on the table now. Trevor made that.
All right, let's dive into the other one. We expected a Florida DB. I kind of expect a couple of Florida DBs, and I'm wondering if that's what this one is about. Jaheim Clark commits to Illinois. Had an offer from Iowa State. Had about, you know, seemed like 20 other group of five offers as well. 6'1", a little thin at 165. I think that's the drawback to him. But you put on the film, Joey, long, athletic, great ball skills. And I hate to use this comp because I feel like we're going to use it too much, but who is another skinny Florida kid who was a ball hawk, but you didn't know how he'd match up physically. It was Kirby Joseph, a kind of prospect here. Interestingly, Illinois kind of sees him as a cornerback right away. But he did say to Andrew Ivins, our expert down in Florida, they could see me at free safety. They could see me seemingly at nickel is the other position he was talking about. So bring some versatility. I think he's going to need time to add strength necessary. I kind of have questions about corner because you got to be pretty physical there. But if he does add the strength with Tank Wright, maybe he can do that. But to me, it's ball skills. To me, it's a guy who can make plays on the ball. That's why, to me, it would make sense as free safety. But that might depend on who else they add in this class. Because if Jair Hill's added to this class, I think Jair Hill's going to have that free safety spot. But long, athletic, ball skills, that seems to be a priority in this class for them.
Yeah, it does. And I wonder if the corner, the projection to him early at corner, remember, they only took, Jeremy, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think I am, two corners in the 2022 class, Elijah McCantos and Xavier Scott. Do they feel like they maybe need to kind of load up on that one early and then rearrange as needed? I don't know. I'm with you. Safety seems to make more sense. And maybe we are just in this like Kirby Joseph bubble, right, where we see that and it's like free safety, free safety, free safety. But it makes sense too. I think we think similarly, like someone like Prince Green, who just screams 2023 free safety.
The difference with Prince is he's like 200 pounds, right? He's six foot three. Kirby was a skinnier guy coming in. That's why I kind of used that comp, not to say he's going to be a top 100 draft pick, but I think that's the mold. And I even saw Elijah McCantos say Kirby 2.0. So a guy who's been in that DB room. We do have to bring this up, Joey. Is it a requirement to be a Florida native to play cornerback at Illinois? Terrell Jennings is not a Florida native, so he's going to be the one in that room, but everybody else is a Florida native. And this goes back to Lovey, man. I will say Florida guys want to play defensive back, and they seem to have the mentality of they're the man. Like, you got to be so confident to play DB because you're going to get beat, right? But to come back and be as confident that you're the best player on the field, I think that's what Aaron Henry, a Florida native, likes of those guys, Kenoto Hudson, Lovie Smith, kind of the same way.
I mean, I think that was also Aaron Henry. That was just who he was. He was a very confident football player. But, yeah, that's – I get it. I mean, you look at it, it's kind of jarring. Like, really, every cornerback on the roster for the most part, and, hey, man, if it works – And we also have to acknowledge Aaron Henry he's well thought of in the state of Florida. Ryan Walters has connections in the state of Florida. Those two are really good recruiters to begin with, and they're really good coaches who have produced last year at Illinois specifically.
Brett Bielema, too. Brett Bielema's got a great history of recruiting Florida. And, New Jersey and Florida certainly have been the complementary spots. In-state recruiting is going to kind of be the foundation for Illinois, they hope. They want to get more into Wisconsin, Missouri, St. Louis. They still hope to recruit well. But they want to get into Michigan, Indiana, Kentucky, we've seen them get into, Ohio, they want to get more into. But Florida's certainly going to be a place where you go find skill players. And, seems like more Florida guys want to be, because I go to these camps, Joey, and you see like dozens of receivers, guys working out at receiver at these camps. And then there's like 10 DBs, right? And so these DBs get all of these reps and they get all this work. And as Marquez Beeson wanted to be a DB because he saw the money that was there in the NFL, because those guys are at a premium. You just saw two guys going, what, the top four or five of the NFL draft were DBs, were cornerbacks. So I would encourage more guys who are wide receivers and solid at it, go play some DB, because you can make some good money and probably get some scholarships there. I would say the same thing about 6'5" basketball post players. Like, go play some football. You might find a lot of Power 5 offers there. But they needed to start on the DBs in this class, right? I think they need four. Maybe in this class, maybe they only go with three, but you're losing Sidney Brown. You're losing Quan Martin, who's a really important part of this defense. Kendall Smith's probably going to start at safety this year, and maybe Devin Witherspoon, right? So I think there's a path to early playing time for guys like Jair Hill or Sabur Kareem. I think Jaheim Clark probably going to take more time to develop here, but they still need more depth and more options, especially at corner in this class.
I've now distracted myself. There's a walk-on story I think Brett Bielema had, right? The kid couldn't play wide receiver very well. He moved him to defensive back, and he went to the NFL. Do you remember that? We've heard this story 100 times. I'm trying to Google it.
I know Wisconsin? One of the walk-ons at Wisconsin was Aberderis, was a wide receiver, but that doesn't work for your example there.
It doesn't. I'll find it eventually. At any rate, I also think, Jeremy, with like the defensive backs, they've never seen panic in that recruiting. I just feel like they had enough targets on their board. They must have felt good about their ability to wow them or to bring them to campus to get them here to land a commitment. This wasn't one of those where we saw like, oh, okay, they're widening their net a little bit. It feels like the targets haven't really changed for the better part of a few months here, and they should be confident in what they can do. Ryan Walters specifically, Kirby Joseph is a sell, but that guy should bring up in every single recruiting meeting from now until the end of time. He just should, and that should resonate.
Can we bring up some other ones? Can he use Tony Adams? I mean, Tony Adams signed a really good deal with the New York Jets as an undrafted free agent. We expect it to be six figures, right? And Sidney Brown, man, there is not enough.
That'll be one next.
Yeah, there cannot be enough hype right now from that staff, or great feelings about what Sidney Brown is going to do this year. Like, they feel he is going to be as good of a player as they've had the last couple years at Illinois. So they feel great about what Sidney Brown's going to do. Devin Witherspoon, Aaron has said, has got NFL things. Now it's just about putting it all together. And he had a really good season last year. I thought he played at an all-Big Ten level, got all-Big Ten honorable mention. So you feel good about what you got this year. It's about what are they going to have after this group of really good DBs. And, you know, last year they added five DBs, three safety prospects, and Matthew Bailey, TJ Griffin, and Tyson Rooks that may take time to develop. And then at corner, I think Elijah McCantos, who had an injury during spring, they feel can play right away. But after that injury, we'll see. And then Xavier Scott's just arriving. So there's a lot of prospects there. There's a lot of bodies, but they need to add more with all the players they're losing. I would expect the transfer portal, they would add maybe one body during the offseason just to give them more experience. But it's going to be an interesting group. I think Keontae Curry is a kid who can play this year. We'll see if Tyler Strain or D.D. Snyder can step up and play some kind of rotation role this year. Taz Nicholson's going to be a big part this year too, Joey. But there's some names there, but a lot of question marks after that starting group.
There is, and I do wonder what our discussion about McCantos would be had he been able to go through spring ball. Because, I mean, I think, Jeremy, you and I, like, just saw him in normal clothes, not in a uniform, and he looked physically pretty solid, right? I mean, he looked like somebody who could get in there early. The spring, it's just hard when you kind of get so locked in on spring ball, and then you're like, oh, right, we haven't talked about him. Well, he didn't play. But there's some – I agree with you. The portal could be – something, though I do think it's worth watching Keontae Curry and Prince Green. We'll see this year. I don't expect a ton this year, but that 23-year Curry could be a Sidney Brown or a Quan Martin type of role, whether that be nickel or that in-the-box safety. And Prince Green, I mean, there was some pretty solid buzz really about both of those two. He could be in that Kirby Joseph role. Is this what we're going to call it from now on, Jeremy? When we're talking safeties, like, is he going to be the Sidney Brown? Is he going to be the Kirby Joseph? Will that carry over year over year?
Yeah,
can we make it?
The way I describe it, so some people call it free or strong, and I know Ryan has certain names for him. I would go with center fielder and in the box safety. Like, that's kind of how I look at it. Who's the guy who's coming up and making hits? And that's Sidney Brown. I think Keontae Curry could eventually play that. I think TJ Griffin, Matthew Bailey are likely in that mold. While Tyson Rooks, he's a center fielder. Jair Hill, he's a center fielder. If they would have gotten Damon Walters, he's more the Sidney Brown type of role. Jaheim Clark is a cover guy, right? Like, more than an in-the-box kind of thumper. So that's kind of how I think of him.
Yeah, I'm going to just call it the Sidney safety and the Kirby safety from here on. And hopefully you know what I'm talking about. I won't be changing that. But yeah, there are two. The larger point, Jeremy, there are a lot of prospects. And I think the timing actually works out pretty well for defensive backs, because you have really 2 years from the time this coaching staff got hired. You definitely know you have 2 years of players there, and probably a pretty solid play. And that allows you to kind of develop some guys back there. Like, you don't have to rush a Prince Green or Keontae Curry in to the starting lineup this year. You don't have to rely on them to be that. And I think if you can establish that early and just let it keep trickling down, see running back in this system or offensive line in this system. Now, they were assisted by some of the Lovie guys, Lovie recruits deciding to stay, getting a Kendall Smith back. Like, you do have to acknowledge that there's still a lot of Lovie's players who are making a significant impact here. But there are a couple positions where there's like the traditional quote-unquote development timeline. And I think defensive back is one of them, though I do agree that maybe an experienced portal player could help.
I think one of the positions we felt good about Lovie recruiting was DB, right? Like, I feel like, one, he had a lot of experience with and knew what to look for. But I thought Kinoto Hudson did a pretty good job. Now, maybe Joriel Washington didn't work out. I don't know if all these guys that they recruited will stay there. But, you know, they seem encouraged by DD and Tyler Strain and what those guys can eventually bring to the position. And Prince Green, too, as you just mentioned. So, yeah, I think Aaron Henry's kind of continued what Hudson and Lovie Smith were bringing to the position. And now I think you're shooting for some higher targets we'll talk about here coming up. Let's break down quickly, Joey, the other official visitors, any thoughts we have on them. Let's start with Kanari Wiltshire. If I had to pick maybe a guy that I would think has a great chance of being in this class, Kanari Wiltshire is probably towards the top of my list there. 6'1" DB, about 175 pounds, so well built for a kid just going into his senior year. The biggest thing, though, is speed. Greasy, fast, speed. Ran a 4.32, I was told, at a Miami camp. Even if that's a fast time, he's a sub-4.5 guy. They could see as a returner. And I think would probably play corner or the nickel spot, but maybe he's a guy who's got that positional versatility. But he's got a visit to Indiana coming up, Joey. This seems like another one. Illinois sitting in a pretty good spot for.
Yeah, and we did see a 20 defensive back cancel his visit next weekend, or I guess I should say won't be taking that visit. We don't know where the I guess it kind of fell apart a little bit there. But that
I think that does, yeah. Kamari McKinley. I think that says Illinois probably feels pretty good about where it sits with its DB targets, right?
Right. And Wiltshire, I didn't realize he was taking an official visit until Thursday, Jeremy. That was kind of under the radar thing. And yeah, it's another Big Ten battle too, at a position of both need in terms of numbers, not in terms of get on the field immediately in 2023 need. But yeah, speed is a big thing for him, and you cannot have enough of that.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. So you have, if you could get Wiltshire and Clark on board, and then you shoot your shot, I think, for the top targets on your board, which are probably Jair Hill, Zach Tobe, who we'll talk about here in a second, and then Sabour Kareem as well. Another one I'm really interested in, Joey, is Mason Moragan, one of the more interesting recruitments of the guys who visited this weekend, because Illinois has been his only Power 5 offer for the last month. They jumped on board last month. It seems like they've developed a really good relationship. I know Terrence Jamison, the defensive line coach, wants to get into Michigan a little bit more, as they should, because there's a lot of good football talent in Michigan, Ohio area. And Mason Moragan just went to Auburn and got their defensive line MVP of their camp. They did not offer. He went to Cincinnati, and I think Cincinnati just doesn't probably have enough scholarship spots, but they didn't offer Moragan, but he was scheduled to camp at Michigan and Purdue this week. I know Illinois was really trying to close this one because they like him a lot as a prospect and at a need position, right? Defensive line is a need position. So I'm interested to see where this one goes. Does Moragan jump on board, or does he follow through with these camps? I think the Michigan one would be the big one, right? I mean, Purdue's a good program. Karlaftis just got drafted very high in the NFL draft, so I'm not going to downplay Purdue and what that offer could mean if they offer, but I think Michigan would be the big one if they decided to offer. And they got a lot of spots still left in their class, but it'll be interesting to see what he does.
Yeah, he's been a really interesting recruitment because it doesn't – like, you look at him, it's like, why doesn't he have more offers – on the table? He's obviously performing well at these camps. It feels like he's just, I know we talked about this on Thursday, Jim, it just feels like he is on the cusp of taking that next step in his recruitment. And if you're Illinois, you would probably like to stop that before it happens, right? Because you like the guy and you just Joey Okla that thing. I know I've said that before, but just Joey Okla, shut it down before it goes. And getting him on campus for a visit helps, but you can't blame him for wanting to go put himself in the position to get in front of more eyes and give himself more options. Even if you like somewhere, options are good. And this is still a position of need for Illinois. I know they got the big one in Jamarion Harkless. That's a good get. I mean, that's a very good get, but you can't just have one. And if you like a guy like Mason Moragan and you've been on him and you've been trying to shut this thing down, I know we'll talk about another target here in a little bit, Jeremy, but that's a pretty good target on the board still for him. And yeah. You want to try to get that.
Yeah, solid D-line depth, right? And this is a kid that for De La Salle Collegiate was a really good program. He had 31 tackles for loss last year for a team that won the state championship and went undefeated, 12 sacks. So you like kids from that kind of program as well that know that they've gotten really good coaching. All right, Calvin Smith, another guy we learned late in the week who was taking an official visit, kind of a guy who's kept quiet about his recruitment. I haven't been able to talk to him after the official visit, but I know Illinois felt really good going into this one. You and I didn't know if they were going to take another edge. They seem like they definitely want to take another edge rusher. Maybe that's after DJ Johnson leaves the program after just 1 year here. But I turn on his film, and I really like him. I could see why he's got a lot of Power 5 offers. He's about 6'4", 235, but for a big man, he's got a great burst off the edge. And I think he's a great complement to Pat Farrell, who I kind of see as more of a kind of a strong side defensive end type, more the Owen Kearney type, while Calvin Smith I see as a very disruptive edge rusher to add to the likes of Gabe Backus and Jared Beatty. I think he and Jared Beatty are kind of a similar build, and I think those guys would really help. So Pitt is in here. Rutgers hosted him for an official visit as well. So that's some good Power 5 competition. Pat Narduzzi, really good coordinator. Obviously, Greg Schiano brings a different element to Rutgers. But to add him, I think would be maybe an under-the-radar one because we haven't talked about him a lot, Joey, but I think he'd be one of the better gets in this class so far.
Yeah, it would be a good get, and I'm with you. I didn't know after they take Pat Farrell and they took two edges last year, and they still have some. They feel good about their depth this year edge-wise, and you would bring a lot of those guys back next year, but we're seeing the importance of this position in the defense. I mean, this is a lot of the production that they got out of Isaiah Gay and Owen Kearney. I mean, that buoyed them a lot in that second half defensively. Now, it wasn't just those guys, but you saw when it's all firing how important that is. So, yeah, I didn't see two, but I guess, Jeremy, we talked earlier, I didn't see a kicker on June 20th either. So there's some – either this is an adjustment they made, maybe they realized that Calvin Smith was more available than previously thought, or this was the plan all along. We don't know, but we are seeing them kind of move different pieces on their recruiting boards. And we saw that last year too, right? We saw that with Sean Miller. We saw that with Malinus Moeller. And I think we're going to continue to see that, and you should, because the 25 is gone. Yeah. So just get your guys and figure it out.
Yeah, they got Samuel Same supposed to visit this weekend, edge rusher out of the Kansas City area. I got to say, like, Kevin Kane – has done as well of building up his position than maybe anyone but Corey Patterson. Like, I mean, running back, adding Aiden Lawford, Jordan Anderson, Caden Fagan. Pretty good run there for Corey Patterson. Then Trevor Burnett is a walk-on. But to add what they've added, and Gabe Backus and Jared Beatty, two of the best gets in last year's class, I would go with Aiden Lawford and Sean Miller there. I think George McDonald's done a really good job so far at wide receiver. He's got a big one still left on the board in the class of 2023, of course. But, you know, Sean Miller, Ian Pugh, Hank Beatty, great starts. And then he really likes Ashton Hollins. But I think Kevin Kane, this isn't exactly starting a position from scratch because edge rushers are defensive ends basically. But they've gotten a different style and a different caliber of edge rusher than Illinois has had in a while, Joey.
Yeah, I mean, Gabe Backus was signing day, and Tennessee, this wasn't like Tennessee was kind of in and they kind of weren't in. Tennessee was all in.
They thought they had him.
And I think they were taken aback when they didn't. And Jared Beatty had offers from Tennessee. I mean, he had them from all over the place, too. Kevin Kane is sneaky, just going in there, getting the work done, and building up a group. I mean, we understood how big Akis and how big Beatty were, but then it was just kind of like, okay, like that's probably on us a little bit, but he's put together a heck of a room there and is continuing to do that. And Will we see them take two edge rushers every year? I think one, obviously, but will you see them take two? I don't know. I mean, I'm not willing to say no. That's a hard one to read in terms of numbers, because just they're in the mix with some pretty solid guys.
Yeah, we haven't even mentioned Alec Bryant, former four-star prospect, transfers from Virginia Tech. I didn't play there, basically, but we saw him. He certainly looks the part, and he's got 4 years of eligibility left. All right, wide receiver Fama Toure, another one that's kind of under the radar, Joey, but I think he's a really good player. 6'3", 200 pounds. I talked with somebody out in Jersey, and they think he's maybe a little underrated out there, but this seems to come down to Illinois and Rutgers, and it seems to come down to me. Is Rutgers going to take him? They have three wide receivers, potentially four wide receivers already committed in the class. His brother plays at Rutgers. So if Rutgers pushes, I think it's a home state school. It's similar program, right, at this point. Similar kind of coaches. It's just one's closer to home. One's got the family connection. But if Illinois gets him, I think he's a really good addition. 6'3", 200 pounds, physical, athletic. The kind of body they need in the wide receiver room and kind of lacked. They need a guy who can, hat tip to Matt Spiegel at 670 score, go up and get it. A Gwagi guy. They need some of those. And while LZ is, of course, the number one target, I think Toure would be a really good get there. So he's going to visit Rutgers this week for an official visit, midweek official visit. So we should know pretty soon on him.
Brett Bielema's just going into various different Big Ten footprints and throwing haymakers, isn't he?
Well, it's the interesting battles we talked about last year was Iowa, Illinois, all the time, right? Time after time, it was coming down to those two schools, it felt like. This time, it's Illinois, Wisconsin, which isn't going well, which is understandable because Wisconsin's Wisconsin. But Illinois Rutgers getting into a lot of battles here.
Bielema starting fights in the Big Ten, man. But yeah, Toure would be good. Obviously, LZ, could you get both, right?
I tell you what, it's better to have those battles, and no offense because USF kicked the you-know-what out of Illinois, but it's better to get into those battles than like USF, right, which Illinois has been in many times in previous years.
That's such a good dad censorship moment from you, Jeremy. That was a good one. But yeah, you're seeing some people wanted, right? When they watched recruiting, they wanted to see Illinois in Power 5 battles. And Illinois is in those. And
Illinois, Michigan. You're seeing Illinois, Michigan battles, right?
And look, you're in Power 5 battles. It's harder to win than not Power 5 battles. Like, you're going to lose some. That's just a fact of this. I don't know what the situation will be with him. Going from Illinois to Rutgers, that's a busy turnaround for Toure to go in there and do that. But, yeah, that would make sense, right? If you're Rutgers and you want him, that's a perfect fit. Go play with your brother. Stay close to home. But if you're Illinois, you hope you can sneak one out and the cards fall. You've seen the cards fall for Illinois a few times in the right way. You hope maybe you can do that again. And if you compare him and LZ on top of the four wide receivers you brought – four, right? Am I thinking?
Mm-hmm.
Four wide receivers you brought in last year, you've remade that room. Plus the big wide receiver last year that you brought into the room, Isaiah Williams, to really remake that thing. I mean, that's a different room than when they walked into Smith Center for the first time in 2021.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about Florida DB. I'm told that Zachary Toby, out of Florida, really good offer list. The interesting thing is here, according to our guy, Sean Bach at our Iowa site, he's dropped his Iowa official visit, which was supposed to be midweek. Still going to take his visit to North Carolina. So Illinois got one of them out of the DBs who have visited. It feels like he's going to be difficult just because of the options he has. Also took official visits to Boston College and UCF, but Illinois seems like one of the major players here, and just a really good Power 5 safety prospect, 6'1", 180. I think he's got some versatility to play both those positions there. So we'll see what happens with him. He doesn't talk a lot, so there's not much to go there. And then the other one I think is just a shoot your shot, right? Chris Tarek out of Glenbard West. They had Alex Pilstrom, who's a Glenbard West alum as well, host him for his official visit. 6'6", 295 pounds. He mentioned Bart Miller would like him to play guard, but certainly seems to have the length to potentially play tackle if they need him there. But Illinois offered him the same day as Wisconsin, Iowa, and Michigan, and he's visited all four of those schools. I think it's going to be difficult to beat Iowa or Wisconsin. I do feel like Illinois is in a better spot than Michigan, but if they're going to add another offensive lineman, they would love to add Chris Tarek. So they put their best foot forward. He's visited Illinois now a couple times. You just hope the home state thing, and you hope he believes in what you were telling him about this program turning around. But when you have options like Iowa and Wisconsin, which are basically what Illinois wants to be, it might be hard to beat an offensive lineman with those schools on board.
Yeah, you couldn't blame him for picking either one of those two schools if that's what it came down to. Bart Miller basically had him one-on-one all weekend. He was the only offensive lineman on campus. You would think maybe that would help Illinois just not to say that when there's multiple at one position, they're hurt, but I think just letting Bart spend 48 hours with the kid could be beneficial. But it's also kind of the cherry on top of the offensive line class. I think they feel good about what they have with Zachary Amlin, with TJ McMillan, with Rico Jackson. And if you could add another one, an in-state kid who is talented like Chris Tarek is, then you find a way to make it work. But I don't think that if he goes elsewhere, and I'm not trying to get ahead of this and like save Illinois either if he goes elsewhere. I just think the reality is if he goes elsewhere, it's a tough loss because you didn't close the state like you had hoped you did. But I don't think it completely craters your offensive line class either. I think we've seen losses that it's like, oh shoot, now what? Now, I don't know that this is the case with him. It'd just be a really, really good get if they could pull it off.
Yeah, the one criticism you could have there is why didn't you offer earlier? Kansas offered early. I think there was one more. Duke offered early. So he's a really bright kid. He's had talent. So those Power 5 schools jumped in early. But from what I heard, Illinois saw him, you know, he lost a lot of weight for wrestling, and then they saw him work out and said, yes, he's a no-doubter now. The problem is Wisconsin, Iowa, and Michigan saw the same thing, and several other Power 5 programs. So Illinois was kind of in this wave, right? But, you know, sometimes it helps to be up front. But Illinois did get him on campus before they offered. So they were recruiting him. It's the same thing with TJ McMillan. They were recruiting him pretty hard, but they just didn't know how the class would play out, and they wanted to see more from Chris Tarek and evaluate him a little bit more. So if you wanted to criticize, you could, but they've done pretty well with their offensive line recruiting. So I just think it would be a cherry on top of what already is a really good offensive line class. All right, Joey, before we wrap this up, I got a six-pack of questions for Illinois football recruiting. You ready?
I thought you had a six-pack of beer.
I could go get one if you want. It's 10:30, 9 a.m., but hey.
I don't need to be judged.
All right, over under 5.5 more commitments in this class. Brett Bielema told you last month 12 to 15. I don't know. That 12 number always seemed pretty low to me. They're already at 10 with several more targets on the board. So you're going over under 5.5 more commitments in this class.
Well, look, can I just run the math out loud here?
Yeah.
So if you get Elzy and Hill, which is no guarantee, that puts you at 12, and you still would. I have to go over, right? I think 16 feels right. 17 feels high. I wouldn't be shocked if it was 17, yeah. But 16 feels just right. That gives you your two headliners that you wouldn't turn away. You could put Tarek in that. You're not going to turn him away. And then you would still have three other spots. So I'm going to take over by a half.
Yeah. So my thing is, you're going to take at least one receiver. right? You're going to take at least two more DBs. You're going to take at least one more defensive lineman. And then the question becomes, well, you want an edge, right? So if you can get Calvin Smith, that's five already. And then you're not turning down Chris Tarik. You're not turning down Malik Elsey. You're not turning down Jair Hill. I don't think they should turn down Sabour Kareem. Like, they're not going to get all those guys, probably, but I think this could be seven more if it's the right guy. So if they had five on board already, Joey, and then Elsey and Hill want to jump on board and Tarik wants to jump, why not take 18? I'd rather take that guy than a transfer, especially some of the kind of transfers they've been getting, right? So, like, I think they should take more than that. I think they will take more of that. If you said 6.5, I'd still have to think about it. Like, because I look at the targets on the board and I say they're not turning down these guys, and I feel like they're in a pretty good spot for them. So I would definitely go over the 5.5.
I think we also have to be clear, and we're talking about this, we're talking about cutting into what they have kind of mentally allotted in the portal.
Like, yeah, from what I've understood, it's going to be like 15 and 8. Like 15 prep, 8. But, we can talk about that as an idea. It always changes, right? Like, they're going to be fluid with it. And numbers can change now with the new scholarship rules. They could change by the time we're in next June, right? Like, they could be having more scholarships open because there's attrition.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out, like, this isn't where they would take these guys and have to figure out how to get to 85. This is, you would kind of figure out how you would approach the portal differently. I think that's kind of an important distinction to make.
Right. All right. Who's your bet on who's next in this class?
Well, apparently, according to JoJo Hayden, this bet is not going to be live for long.
I'm going Wiltshire. Maragan really interests me because he has an interesting decision, but he seems like he's been pretty committed to going through this process, and who could blame him if he's going to go camp at Purdue in Michigan? But Wiltshire just seems like a guy that was on campus, the Florida thing, it's his first official visit. Indiana is also scheduled, but I can see him hopping on board if Illinois makes him a top priority, which seems to be the case. So could be wrong in an hour, but I'm going to go with Kenari Wiltshire.
Yeah, I think those are the two that, to me, it comes down to, Wiltshire or Moragan. Wiltshire makes sense because, frankly, we saw another defensive back cut back on his official visit, right? And say he's no longer making it. To me, that says something. And when you're talking recruiting, you've got to follow whatever you can follow, and that's something to follow.
And that happened this morning, right? And then we have JoJo Hayden saying commitment. So you put two and two together. I would think it leaned towards DB there. All right, who do you feel better with, Malik Elsey or Jair Hill? Four-star in-state prospects. Elsey, the four-star wide receiver out of Chicago Simeon, and Jair Hill, the four-star DB out of Kankakee, who we saw play in the 7-on-7, and it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I think my answer has changed over the last 10 days. I really like where I think Illinois stands with Jair Hill. I think Ryan Walters has done an exceptional job of kind of locking in and making it clear that Jair Hill is number one, two, and three on his board right now. I mean, that is, he is as priority gets, and Ryan Walters is good at what he does, and I think his pitch is resonating. It's not going to be easy. I'm not saying they're going to get him, and I also don't think I feel like Malik Elsey is going to go elsewhere. I just, the buzz or the vibe I feel with Jair Hill has gotten a little bit better in the last 10 days.
Yeah, let's just be clear. Like, we witnessed him around the staff on the 7-on-7. If you, some Illini fans, they see an Illinois recruit wearing Illinois gear, and it almost is like the reverse reaction because of what Julia Billingsley or Sean Livingston did. But he came in wearing a family T-shirt, ILL family, and then just the interaction with the staff was real. How excited they got around Jair. Michigan has been involved for a long time, but he didn't commit on that official visit like Deacon Tonielli did. He's going to Missouri this weekend, and Missouri has been very involved, and I'm not going to overlook them because Eli and his staff have done really well. But I just think, he doesn't say much, but when I talked to him the other day, like, there's definitely a resonance of maybe helping turn this program around. And, watching him, Joey, I saw Antonio Johnson between a sophomore and junior year, and he just jumped out to me at this All-American camp. And I said, that guy's different with how long, fluid, athletic, and how competitive he is. I'm not saying Jair Hill is going to be a first-round draft prospect like Antonio Johnson likely will be this year, but he's got that kind of vibe to him. And I just think he'd be a massive get. And I agree with you. I'm starting to feel better about where they land. I think it's between Illinois and Michigan at this point. And I feel like Illinois has got a little bit of momentum there. The other one, Malik Elzey, Illinois seems like they've been confident through this, but Cincinnati also feels confident. So it's one of those where it's like, man, this kid seems to be really debating this. And after an official visit to Cincinnati, you hope Illinois can continue, you know, their, you know, continue having like momentum there, that he doesn't sway towards Cincinnati because it was the latest one that he visited. So it's going to be really interesting to see when he decides, where he decides. But Illinois had contact with him right before the Cincinnati visit. I'm sure they've been in contact with him in the last day or so since he's ended that visit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I say Jair Hill because I think it's panic button on Malik Elzey. I just feel like that's kind of what I've seen, and maybe I'm just a little surprised by how different my feeling of Hill is now versus a week and a half ago. I want to just go back to the 7-on-7 real quick. That dude was awesome to watch play football. Like, he may have been on the fringe of starting between 1 and 16 fights during 7-on-7 because he is very vocal.
And Illinois loved it. They loved that.
And I don't think, like, he's very passionate on the field. He also, and some people might hear this and be like, he like smoked some people during 7-on-7s, which are very much not built to have somebody smoke some people.
He had to be, he was really fun. He had to be reminded that's two-hand touch. several times.
Which he'd remind them that he touched somebody with two hands. It just came with a pretty fair amount of force behind it. I just, watching it, was the first time I'd seen him play in person, and it's just, it's an energy. Like, you just feel him out there. It was just really fun. It was a fun 7-on-7 to watch, which isn't always the case.
Which is what I wrote about, because, like, sometimes you get the, he's such a quiet kid to us, even coaches. During his official visit, I heard he didn't say much, right? But, like, you see him on the field, and he finds his voice, and he just comes alive. And he's the loudest person on the field, and then you get him off the field 2 minutes later. And the fact that I got a three-minute interview out of him was, like, amazing, right? Like, that's the kind of kid he is, and Illinois loves that. Like, what's the phrase people say? He's got that dog in him? Like, that's what Jair Hill is on the field. When you combine that, the love for the game, the competitiveness on top of the physical talent. Like, we have him 161 in the country for 24/7 sports. I know some others have him lower. We had him as a three-star at one point. I thought that was insane. We bumped him up to 161. I agree with that. He reminds me of, as I said, Antonio Johnson, but, like, he's got some Terry Hawthorne to him of, like, I think he's a top, no doubt, 200 prospect in the country. And that's what we're talking about. If they're able to land Jair Hill, he's the kind of athlete, kind of player they haven't landed in a while. And I'll say the same thing about Malik Elzey. 6'3", 200 pounds. I saw him play against JCA, and he had like 90 yards, 5 catches in a game that his team got blown out in. He only had like 7 targets. But what I loved about him was his physicality on defense. Like, he's a very competitive individual on top of the talent. So that's why those two guys are so important, because they're the kind of skill players, skill athletes Illinois has not had in a long time.
Yeah, I'm with you. And it's my last point about Hill is, we just talked earlier about like the Florida defensive back kind of mentality. He could transfer to a Florida school right now and like share all the personality traits with his fellow defensive back. I know I'm beating this kind of to death here, but that dude is fun to watch play football.
All right, Joey, moving on. What's the biggest need remaining in the class for you?
It still has to be a wide receiver until proven otherwise. You want to maybe say defensive line would be my honorable mention, but it has to be wide receiver. There's still that could be answered in the next 2 to 3 weeks if it comes down to that. There's still some really good Malik Elzey still out there. Torrey's still out there, but that right now, until you get one, it's that.
I agree with you. I think it's wide receiver. DB, they're starting to address, right? So I feel like DB and wide receiver are the top two there. I would include defensive line, but I feel like they're going to add one, right? Whether it's Mason Moragan, Ian Jeffries, potentially going to visit this weekend, and Jamal Howard out of Chicago Marist, went to Wisconsin, didn't commit. I'm told the plan is for him at least to visit. So I'm interested if they add more than one more defensive lineman. I'm not sure they will, but I do think defensive line adding one more is really important. Speaking of linemen, does Illinois add another offensive lineman in this class?
So it comes down to Brandon Henderson from East St. Louis, who visited Illinois, also visited Iowa State, and Chris Terrick. Do you win one of those? I think they would. I absolutely think they would add one more. Will they? I don't know. I think Terrick is still an uphill battle. I'm going to say no, but not very comfortably.
I agree with everything you said. So I don't have much to add. Like, can you add Brandon Henderson? I don't know, because Iowa State's done a fantastic job. And I think Tarek's going to be really difficult to land. But I agree. I think they would like to take one of those guys. Because I would worry about the numbers later. Those are two really good prospects. So in my opinion, I think you take one of those guys. You push for one of those guys if you can get them. Who's a target we need to talk more about in this class? I'll start. Sabour Kareem. I love him. 6'3". 180 pounds, length, athleticism, fluid. He's not a four-star prospect, but I think he's of that caliber. I think Sabour Kareem is a guy we need to talk a little bit more about, because it's down to Illinois and Duke, and I think Illinois should win that battle. Even for a kid from New Jersey, I think they should win that kind of battle. So I'm going to go with Sabour Kareem, because I think he'd be one of the best gets in this class.
I'm going to go – maybe it's because I've not thought about him a lot, because I always felt like Wisconsin was going to be the home, and it still may well be. But Jamel Howard, you are planning to get him on campus next weekend, meaning he did not commit to Wisconsin last. So you're still in the fight, and that's an in-state win or opportunity to win. That would be a really big deal at a position of need. And you pair him and Harkless together if it came down to that, and that's a nice – that's a nice rebound from the panic and freak out that was at the end of May about defensive line recruiting. Now, I don't know if they're going to do it, but the fact that you still have a chance to be in that fight after a Wisconsin official, that's something to monitor.
My question is, after adding Harkless, do you add another nose guard if you can get Moragan on board? Like, I don't know. I mean, I love Jamal Howard. I would take him. But it's just going to be like the numbers game that we talked about is so interesting right now. All right, Joey, we got anything else to add? There's a lot going on in football recruiting. It feels like the next three weeks, because we saw some guys, Aiden Loffrey decided in July, right? Took some time to think about it. Jared Beatty committed on 4th of July. Sean Miller took some time to figure it out, right? Like that he's going to pick Illinois. I think he was a July commitment. So some of these guys might go into July to take some time, but I think the next 2 to 3 weeks, we're going to see Illinois potentially fill up its class, which is pretty amazing.
Okay. So my question is, I was at a wedding last 4th of July. I woke up from a rehearsal dinner at a cool 11:30 on the 4th of July.
That's early for you.
Thank you. Will there be a 4th of July commitment be in the cards for us to cover this year? Because remember, Sincere Harris basketball, I believe, was the 2nd, July 2nd, and then it went right into Jared Beatty. Will there be it again?
Yeah, I got a follow-up question for you, but it's just so they can say fireworks, right? Like, and we can use – Illinois gets 4th of July fireworks in the headline. Probably. Somebody will do it on 4th of July with like a bald eagles edit in the background. What is the worst holiday to potentially commit on? Because recruits, can I be honest with you? It's not my day, but I have to work when you guys commit on there. Can we not do the holiday commitments? Like, I'd rather you do your birthday commitments. Like, those are better for me if I'm being selfish here. Don't do – like, Owen Carney was Christmas. I don't know if I've ever forgiven Owen Carney for Christmas.
Yeah, Christmas and Thanksgiving are the tough ones. I'm going to level with you New Year's Eve and New Year's Day for me. Let's just say mostly New Year's Day. If you're doing New Year's Eve, let's cut that off at about 5 p.m.
And if it's New Year's Day,
it's a non-starter.
New Year's Day, it's got to be before the Rose Bowl, but after, at least after noon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 8 p.m. is your target audience on New Year's Day, if you can swing it. But also just don't. Do we say this? Do we sound horrible?
Yes.
Kids?
Yes. We are being selfish here. I'm going to be selfish, but it's good content. Like
Christmas and New Year, or Christmas and Thanksgiving are the two tough ones. Outside of that, it doesn't really matter.
Big Sweetest Day guy, Joey. Like you can get upset if somebody does on Sweetest Day.
No, I don't. Just don't do it on Christmas and Thanksgiving, please.
Gotcha.
Or if you do, kindly let us know on like the 23rd or 24th of December or the day, like 2 days before Thanksgiving, so we can just have all of our stuff done.
Yeah. Okay, I'm good. I'm good. Just fire it off. Yeah.
And also don't yell at us for being selfish because we're being super selfish.
I think we've used that qualifier, but come on. Like, you also want to get the most traction of your commitment, right? And if you do it on Christmas, how many people are going to be tuned in for that? If you're doing it on like New Year's Day, like, all right, they did that. I'm watching the Rose Bowl or I'm watching bowl games, right? So you want more engagement on it. Don't do it on holidays is all I'm saying. So it's not just selfish, even though it is very selfish, but we're giving them some advice.
The 4th of July will get all the engagement because everybody will have firework in the headline. Yeah. 4th of July is a sneaky, really good holiday to commit on.
Yeah, and that's not a bad one if you're doing it like morning, early afternoon, right? That's not a terrible one. People talk about it at their 4th of July parties. So there you go. All right, we appreciate you listening. We'll try and do our YouTube live stream. We'll try to have less old man takes, media takes that nobody cares about. Like my biggest media take is I love 11 a.m. football games because I get to go home. We get to watch other games. Joey is not a fan of those because he doesn't have kids.
I don't have kids. I just don't understand how you can cover a game on Friday night to see a recruit and then have a drive to campus. And like that feels like a very small window of sleep. And it's not even...
Welcome to my world, Joey.
Yeah, to me, it's not even like a battling a hangover. I don't... Not for 11 a.m. It's just I enjoy sleep.
It's the same reason, Joey, I love red-eye flights. Because I hate spending my entire day waiting for something, right? I'd rather get it done or do it late at night so I can do something else during the day. Like a 1 p.m., 2 p.m. kickoff, like I can't... That's all I'm doing the entire day, which for the most part, that's most of a game. But 11 a.m., I get a little bit of football watching time late at night, get to maybe tuck in the kids, hang with the wife a little bit. I can't do that with a 2:30 game. So that's why my hot media take that's against everybody else, because I get it tailgating, man, for a 2 o'clock game. Yeah, that's great stuff.
I don't hate 11 a.m. because I'm not usually doing anything the night before. My thing is always, what could I be doing the night before that would cause me a slower day the next day? I just want to let people in because Jeremy Werner is the king of like, hey, we're flying in. We'll leave Chicago at about 1. We'll get there, get in time to get some dinner, maybe have a few beers, and we'll cover the game the next day. And then if we stay again, it's, hey, the flight out is at 6. Alarm's firing off here at 2:30 in the morning. It's going to be this wild Uber ride in Charlottesville that was just a tremendously uncomfortable ride. But it was the last one as we cruise through the woods at 3 o'clock in the morning. Other people on the beat do enjoy the very last flight out that they can possibly get. And I might need to start partnering with them because Jeremy Werner is a 6 a.m.er
Brett Behrens
on the flight. Yeah. We are 6 a.m. flights. Hey, Jeremy Werner.
You team with Behrens if you want. If you want to go on a different flight, that's fine.
But I also don't want to fly out at like 11:30 the next night either.
Well, you pick out your own flights then next time, buddy, guy.
No. I do enjoy just showing up. That's my favorite part of this job is just showing up.
That's right. Well, hey, thank you for listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. Thanks to all of you who watched on YouTube Live. We'll try and do this more often in the future, especially with the post-game stuff, emergency podcast. Just another way you guys can consume us on the YouTube page as well. So give us a follow there for the next time we do this. But appreciate you listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. Give us a follow, a rating, review, wherever you get your podcasts. And if if there's more Illinois football news in the coming future, and there will be in the coming weeks, we will do more podcasts, so stay tuned. But everybody, take care of each other. Have a great day. Stay cool. And we'll talk to you next time on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.